We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I bet they're an OMM. Just a big fella and me. Lou's got the
just a couple baseball off. Honks. Just a couple seam heads. Talking baseball.
Typical baseball.
Waiting for Alex Cora, the head man in charge.
Typical baseball guy, though. He does a double shift. You know, it's like you play two. And
he needs a day off.
Day off.
A load management day. Can't stand in the outfield for longer than an hour. My back hurts.
It could be a killer.
We got to change his intro song. I'm not sure if I like this song.
Why don't you like the song anymore?
I think we should ask him. Oh, he's there. I think we should ask him if he wants a different song. It's a little too slow for me.
Alex Cora, you like this song or you want some different production?
We need to change it because he threw out the first pitch the other day in Minnesota. So
right? There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, there we go.
We need to switch it.
We'll have our production staff.
We give him all this promotion, whatever, for free, and... You know, he goes to Minnesota throughout the first pitch. We can have that.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take over as DJ for the Alex Cora interview. So every week, okay, based on the way things are going, your song is going to tell the story. So next week, I'm going to give you a good one.
I'm deleting all of his
stuff.
Which
one is this? Quicksand?
No. Hey, I love at least you got a sense of humor.
It's time for us to talk with Alex Cora. It's brought to you by Arbella Insurance, Cumberland Farms, official coffee of the Boston Red Sox Radio Network. Lou has the day off. He's been doing double duty, as you know, over there with you guys over at Fenway.
Duty.
Too difficult. You know what is it? Yeah, when you play two.
Was he around? I didn't see him.
Really?
He never comes down.
He shows up late because he works with us.
Maybe he's doing the broadcast out of his house.
Yeah.
All right, you got to start with this one for me. I'm watching David Price in the first couple innings, and I'm sitting there, he's got no command of that fastball whatsoever. And then people start tweeting out there, and they're giving us numbers of how bad his numbers are when it's under, like, 57 degrees and it's moist out or whatever. The first thing I thought of, he's got some type of physical ailment. What were you thinking? What was the communication after that first inning? And what the hell happened with him?
No, I mean, Dana, right away, he saw something with his mechanics. And, you know, we tried to correct it. Actually, we're going to give some information about it today. But it seems like his arm slot was a little bit lower. He had to do with flying open a little bit. And his release point wasn't there. And you could see it with the fastball, you know, right away. I mean, he hit the little guy twice, and the pitches to Andrews that were supposed to be in, and he missed away. So, you know, right away, you know, he felt like he was off mechanically, and, you know, like he said, you know, he didn't have a good one.
So I want you to be honest with this one, okay, because you're using a lot of pitchers, right?
I'm always honest.
Okay, well, here's a test. All right, so you're losing a lot of guys. You find out Hembree can't pitch, right, because he's got something going on with his elbows.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then so Josh Smith comes out for the ninth. You have a lead. Yeah. You guys make this unbelievable comeback. Everybody's into it. And he throws a pitch. He hits the first batter. Okay, I don't know if you have anybody left at that point in time, but what is going through your mind after you bring Josh Smith, who's never closed before, hits the first batter?
That he was nervous, you know, like I was like, I mean, you're still closing the game, you know, and this is the first time he's done it. He's doing it at the big league level, and he hit the first batter. I was like, he's feeling it right here, you know. But then he made some good pitches on the door. I think it was a breaking ball that he swung and missed, and then he fouled off a mile in a cutter, and kind of like he was able to slow it down there. And, you know, he actually did a good job using his cutter yesterday more than what he did in against the Rays. And, you know, he gets that ground ball. Then Odor takes off. You know, they got Mazzara, who's a good hitter. And he gets that, you know, 3-2 cutter inside for a cold strike. And, you know, it was one of those that everybody's pulling for him, obviously, because we don't want to put this kid in a situation to fail. And he's still a big leaguer. You know, he still has to get people out. The thing is that, you know, it felt like it was a big game for us. You know, we came back, we did all this stuff, and then we're 1 man short because Heater can go. And, you know, you got to give him credit. You know, he did a good job with the usage, and he got the 3 outs, you know, and now we move on to Baltimore. But it was one of the, as soon as he hit him, I was like, oh, gosh, you know, he's nervous.
So, and you mentioned after the game about, you know, the vibe in the dugout. And you referenced, hitting, right? And everybody's getting hits.
Yeah.
And that just automatically brought energy, I guess, throughout the dugout. Was that all that was missing?
No. I mean, it's very hard to create energy when you're not scoring runs. And then that's the way it is. We love 1-0 games, 2-1 games, baseball fans, or baseball purists. The guys that pay attention to the game, they love that. But, when you're scoring runs, you feel it. You feel it, And, Jade goes deep right away and Jackie. I said, no, it was Xander got the base hit. And then who was the next guy? Christian got a base hit. And he's like, okay, we put in good swings today. We feel like, we're commanding the zone. And then Jackie hits a home run and we felt it right away. The guys did an amazing job in the middle of the game getting people out. Schwarren and Lakins and then Walden, and it was just a matter of time, Xander got a good pitch to hit and he didn't miss it, and you saw the emotion. We something that we've been talking about and is real, and we saw it right away in Seattle and in Oakland. Teams, it's not that they play harder with us, but you can see the emotion, they strike somebody out in the fourth inning and they're screaming and they're excited. And yesterday, for the first time in a while, Xander crushed that ball and you saw him right away. It was a good show of emotion, and hopefully it's not that we're going to be rah-rah and take out the pom-poms and bring cheerleaders and be excited every time. But you can see it. You can see it. And hopefully this weekend we can keep swinging the bat well, go to Minnesota, have a good series, and then come back home and start playing better at Fenway.
So is Embry okay? He good to go?
Actually, I just got here to the ballpark. We got in late, so we pushed the buses late to 3 and 4. I don't know if he's here. I came straight to the office because I had this great interview with you guys.
There you go. Well, you're a trooper. You're a trooper. Unlike Merlone, you're a trooper. Right.
Yeah, this is first, and then I go to the training room and check with Brad and Heater. He texts me this morning. He feels okay, but obviously they want to test it out and see if he can go today or tomorrow.
All right, you know what we talk about most days when we're talking about the team. We're talking about that bullpen and the closer by committee. I look at the numbers, and sometimes the numbers are very deceiving. And if you look at all of your bullpen numbers, they're terrific in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. Lowest walks in of any the staff in the league. I mean, you could look at them, and they're very interesting. 9th inning, not the case. There's a different mentality to pitching in the 9th inning. Do you have to find somebody with that mentality, whether it's in your bullpen right now or whether it's external? Because that's where these things seem to be falling apart, Alex.
I mean, we had the Cleveland game, and obviously we had, we were up, 5-1, and we gave it up and won against the Rangers. I do feel the guys that we have here, they can do the job. And, We still have to make adjustments. We noticed kind of the last 10 days or 15 days that, the way we attack guys is the right way, but teams are starting to make adjustments and sit on breaking balls and lay off breaking balls. And I think we have to switch the script a little bit, kind of like, fastball usage, just bring into the equation so teams get off the breaking ball. But I do feel that Heater, Barnsey, and Wirt, they can do the job there, it doesn't seem that way the last 10, 15 days, but they can do that. Dave has said it all along, we put ourselves in a good situation, to get better, and obviously in the standings and whatever we are, record-wise, we're going to get better. And we got some guys that are coming back, soon. We always talk about Nate, but what Hector and BJ did last year, and that when everybody was hurt, when people were hurt in the rotation, now BJ might start on Sunday. He's going to help us to get 4 or 5 innings and then a chance to win. We don't have to go to these guys over and over and over again, in bullpen days. And I think rest is going to benefit them. So I do feel we still have the guys that can help us out and can do the job in the ninth inning.
So I get the feeling.
I get the point. I understand what you're saying, you know, and this is something that over the years, me as a manager, me working in Houston, me working on ESPN, and from afar just watching the game, we talk about that 9th inning, and people don't have a exact explanation why some guys are good in the 7th and they can do it in the 9th. I mean, every out is equal, but I don't know. That's something that nobody has actually said this is the reason why some guys can't do it in the ninth inning.
Well, when you're talking about getting the book, I almost get the feeling you're talking about Barnes. It almost seems like they're sitting and they're waiting for that curveball. Do you sit down? Do you start changing up? So they're looking at video. They're seeing 3-1 pitch. This is what he's doing. Do you need to change up what he's throwing right now to keep the batters off balance?
Now, he did actually the other day against the Rangers. He threw that. He has a split finger that he hasn't used that often, and he used it the other day. And you could see the at bats kind of change. You know, it's a third pitch that maybe he's not going to use him that often, but at least it's in the back of the mind of the hitter. And then when you're studying video, and the hitting coach is preparing his team for how they're going to attack Barnsley, well, hey, he has a split finger, you know, and he's throwing his fastball in this spot now. So you go in different directions, and you can see the results. And yesterday, you know, he faced that team, what, 3 times out of 4 games, you know, and he faced the same hitters over and over again, and you see it. You know, he made some adjustments, and the swings weren't as good as in the first night he faced the Rangers.
You know, is the phrase bullpen by committee just kind of code for we don't have the right guys?
I think, you know, if you ask that question to Kevin Cash, maybe he'll say, yeah, you know, like we're good the way we're doing it, you know, and they're in second place and everybody raves about what they do. And I think, you know, we feel that our guys can do the job, and you move around and you look for the exact way to use him. You know, Barnes is going to face most of the time the middle of the lineup, and then Work is going to face most of the lefties, and he's going to face the guys that struggle with fastball. So, I mean, that's the way the game is going. That's the way it is. You know, last year, you know, we had Craig, you know, who was going to pitch the ninth, but in the 6th, 7th, and 8th, we were doing the same things. The only difference was that we had Craig. But then when Craig was struggling, you know, hey, everybody was talking about, oh, should we stay with the closer? And that's the beauty of this game. You know, it's not black and white, you know, like your opinion might be right, mine might be right, and then that's how it goes. You know, we manage the game differently because of the personnel that we have.
Yeah, so we're talking to Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox. I was asking that just because, you know, I feel like, you know, whenever there's an issue with the team, it's bullpen, 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 and your force as the manager and being the guy that you are to defend your players regardless of whether they're ready or not, because there's a list of guys that could probably use some more seasoning, you know, at a lower level, maybe before they're ready, but you're basically, in my opinion, using just what they're giving you and trying to get by with it, even though you could probably use somebody else. I don't know. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, last year we felt the same way, and we knew that we were going to get better, you know, in July 31st, and everybody was screaming for a bullpen guy, and we ended up with a starter. It happened that then in the postseason, he became a force in the bullpen. But, you know, we do believe we have talent. We got stuff, you know. You start looking at the stuff that we have, you know, the 94, 95, you know, the hitter's fastball is a special one in the game. Barnes breaking ball is one of the best. Workman has done an outstanding job with his three-pitch mix. So as far as, like, usage and talent and stuff, I mean, we're very comfortable with the guys that we have. It's just a matter that we ran into a streak here. You know, we started Weber in Kansas City. He only gave us 1 1/3. And then Darwinson struggled when he came up, and Smith only gave us 4. And you start using these guys over and over and over again, and you know, they're going to get tired, and the stuff is going to be a tick down. So hopefully Eduardo can give us a good outing today, then the same thing tomorrow, and then Sunday the same thing, and we can kind of like reset our bullpen and be fresh going into Minnesota.
All right,
and at the same time, win games here in Baltimore. That's the most important thing.
Don't give up on that Baltimore team. You got to take care of business
this weekend. No. Hey, yes, sir.
As the old guy here, I've seen a lot of things over the years at Fenway Park. I saw 2 things in the last few games I've never seen in my life. Ball bouncing off the top of that short right field wall last night. DeShields had no idea what he was supposed to do. He thought he was playing in Tropicana. It went off the ceiling, right? He had no idea what to do. Do I run? And the other one was Brock Holt the other night, going for the ball along the pesky pole and then missing it, and I guess assuming that the ball went out of the ballpark and nobody's moving on the ball, and the next thing you know, Pence has got himself an inside the park home run, and he could have run the bases twice.
At that point, I was shaving after I got thrown out, so you know, I actually didn't see the play live on TV, and then I saw the replay, and I talked to Brock about it, and you know, he explained to me, he's like, dude, you know, I went to the corner and it was over my head, and I was in the stands. I was like, oh, that ball is gone. And then, you know, Mookie was watching the play, something that, you know, I talked to him about it. So weird stuff, you know. How many games have we played, 70 or whatever?
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff that has happened, you know, in the beginning of the season. But one thing for sure, you know, for how bad or inconsistent we've been, you know, we still – 6.5 games out, you know, from first place. So we just got to keep continuing to get better. I think offensively, there's some good signs, you know, going on. Guys starting to hit the ball in the air. Benny hitting the ball in the air yesterday. Mookie hitting a line drive up the middle and a line drive to third base. So, you know, when that offense clicks, I think that's when we're going to get hot and do the things that we're supposed to do.
All right, time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex. Question was submitted by Richard McAvoy. And this is kind of a question we're getting from a lot of the fans out there, so you can understand it. And I'll read his words. With essentially the same team from last year, what do you see as the biggest factor as to why this year the magic seems to be gone? Last year, everything seemed to work, and this year, nothing seems to work. We get that question a lot, I can tell you. We get it a lot.
I get that from my mom, too. So,
good. She's a good fan.
Yeah, she's like, what's going on here? What's going on? I don't know. I just feel that, you know, like I've been saying all along, I think offensively, we haven't been consistent. That's the bottom line. Obviously, pitching-wise, we struggled in the first month, but we have been better. I do believe that Nate went down, but, you know, Brian and Hector went down at the same time, and we've been missing that fifth starter that gives us a chance to go deep into the game. I'm not talking about 7 innings, 8 innings. We're talking about 5, 6 innings to give the offense a chance to win. And when we get in a roll, then we go into that game, and boom, we have to use the bullpen, and then we're chasing our tail for 2 or 3 days until we reset the bullpen. So hopefully we went through a tough – part of schedule this last week with the doubleheader and using, you know, three guys that are not, you know, our regular starters, you know, and now we can get into a regular schedule, use our guys and get rolling.
Is there a sense
and
of
it wasn't magic last year. It was good players too. They did an outstanding
job. Yeah, and I think that's what people are looking at though. You did it with good players. You've got virtually all of those players back and the results are much different. I mean, you can see your mother's right. Listen to your mother. She knows what she's talking about here. That was your Cumberland Farms question of the week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager. Submit your question for us to ask Alex Scorer next week.
One question. Last question for me. So, obviously, you know, the
hey, how the hockey thing went?
I switched gears. No, I'm no longer a hockey insider.
Baseball insider now.
I'm a baseball insider now. So all the hot topics and news are going to come out of my mouth.
He's going to tell you who your new closer is today at 5 o'clock. Yeah. Dave's making a big trade. Yeah. He's got the inside scoop.
He told me about the new leadoff guy, and yeah, we got him.
That's what it is.
Actually, but before everybody sees the lineup, Mookie's not playing today. He has an off day, you know. So before everybody jumps into conclusion.
Same with Lou. Yeah. Lou's got an off day. Load management. So here's my last one, random question, though. I was thinking about this the other day. So Drake, you know, NBA Finals. I mean, he's like, you know, Spike Lee-esque, you know. It's kind of irritating. He's kind of rubbing people the wrong way. So in all your years playing, even going back to the U, okay, and you can't say Nevin Shapiro, okay, who is the most irritating star fan that you ever had to deal with? Or did you even, were you ever associated with any of these guys?
No,
never had a Drake type with all the teams you were on?
No, you got to remember, I was the 25th man in the 25-man roster, you know, so people didn't, you know, players like me and Lou, people didn't pay attention to, you know, so, yeah.
How about Bradfoe? Would he be one of those irritating celebrity?
Bradfoe. That's a good one. I saw him swing there. Is he playing softball or something?
No, he's the worst athlete.
Who knows? I don't want your social calendar. Hey, one more thing before we let you go. Have you or anybody over there talked to David Ortiz?
No, I haven't talked to David, but I talked to Tiffany, his wife, yesterday, and, you know, so far so good. You know, the way she put it is like, this guy is amazing. You know, he's a beast, and, you know, not. I think Alex, his daughter, you know, she put a post on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw it.
Very powerful, powerful. And that's something I've been telling these guys, too. You know, like, it's been a tough week about, you know, with everything that went on. And one thing about the big man, you know, every time he walked into the clubhouse, he had a smile, you know, and he appreciated every single day that he played in the big leagues, you know, and it put everything in perspective. So, you know, regardless where we are, we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to have joy, and You know, it's not that he changed our season, but I think, you know, in a certain way, you know, it put everything in perspective. So hopefully we can enjoy the season and do the things that we set to do.
All right, Alex, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Happy Father's Day to you.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Thank you, too, guys. See you guys Wednesday.
See you later. Alex Kaur right here on OMF.